Good evening. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome and thank you for joining the Rai Way 2017 first half results analyst conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Giancarlo Benucci, Head of Corporate Development and IR of Rai Way. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Welcome to all of you, and thanks for joining our first half results call. As usual, I'm here with Aldo Mancino, CEO, and Adalberto Pellegrino, CFO. Let me now hand the call over to Aldo. Please, Aldo, go ahead.
Thank you, Giancarlo, and good afternoon to everybody. Let me start the presentation of our first half 2017 financial results by giving you a few highlights of our activity in the first half of the year, as shown in slide number four. The business environment remains very healthy. Concerning broadcasters, we confirm the strong relationship with our main customer, Rai, and during first half 2017, provided several additional services. The renewal of DTT satellite platform, including the rearrangement and expansion of satellite capacity to enable Rai to provide a full HD offering. We upgraded our DTH and DTT platform as means of transporting new Rai radio channels starting from last June. Again, we provide transmission services for Rai and other broadcasters during the recent G7 summit in Taormina through a dedicated network implemented by fiber optics, radio link, and local hotspots for mobile contribution inside Emilia centers. We are now involved in purchasing equipment for the rearrangement of Rai Multiplex One in a number of Italian regions as a consequence of the reorganization of regional frequencies for the renewal and upgrading of part of our radio link network to enable the reallocation of 3.6, 3.8 GHz frequencies to go ahead. We are also renewing part of our FM low power feeders to maintain our network at a state-of-the-art level. Finally, talking about Rai, we are closely watching the talks taking place between Rai and Italian public administration for the definition of the 2017-2022 service agreement, as established by the new contract between the government and Rai, which was approved last April. Regarding other broadcasters, in the first half of 2017, a positive impact on revenues arose from the long-term agreement with Telenor for the operation and maintenance of their TV and radio broadcasting equipment, and the integration activities of Sub-Engineering, the company we acquired from Norba Group last March, are fully on track. Concerning telecommunication customers, we continue to be involved in ongoing discussions with MNOs to optimize and consolidate their presence on Rai Way sites in the long term. We have already reviewed about efficiency. We have already reviewed and strengthened our organization to intensify business development as a means of being closer to the customer, meaning more responsive, with greater customer satisfaction and support innovation. To be in line with the best practice of our industry, we have appointed Chief Technology Officer and a Chief Business Development Officer. Moving to slide five. This slide details the new services provided to Rai during the last six months. As I previously mentioned, HD channel broadcasting on satellite platform with the launch of the full Rai offer in HD at the beginning of 2017. Four radio channels added on the DTT platform and three channels on DTH. In particular, I'd like to emphasize the innovative solution we arranged for the G7 summit in Taormina, connecting meeting venues and media center in Taormina and the production center in Rome using Wi-Fi IP transmission for HD signals and data access to the network. Continuing with slide six and talking about first half 2017 financial highlights, I can best summarize our financial results by saying that all metrics are positive and in line with our plan. Starting from core revenues, which reached 108 million euros, 1.3 higher than the same period last year as a result of increasing revenues from the new services performed of RAI, up 1.1% year-on-year, and from third-party business, up 2.7% year-on-year. Moving on, adjusted EBITDA, this increases to 56.8 million euros, 2% higher year-on-year, thanks to the growth of core revenues and broadly stable OPEX. 51.3 million euros first half 2017 versus 51 million euros in the same period last year. The adjusted EBITDA margin reached 52.6% in line with first quarter 2017 compared to 52.2% in the first half 2016. Now you can see the remarkable growth of net income, 39% year-on-year, which reached 27.4 million euros, driven by several factors: a further improvement in profitability, lower one-off expenses, a declining trend in D&A, and a lower first half 2017 tax rate. About CapEx. CapEx amounts to 12.4 million euros, 8.6 million euros related to development initiatives and the acquisition of food engineering from Norba Group, and 3.8 million euros to maintenance CapEx in line with the same period last year. Net debt increased to 43 million euros versus 9.4 million euros 2016 year end due to the dividend payment and tax cash out in second quarter 2017. Finally, we continue to display strong cash conversion which amounted to 93.3%. I leave the floor now to Adalberto for the detailed overview of our first quarter 2017 financial results.
Thank you, Aldo. Good afternoon and good morning to those that are connected from the United States and Canada. Let's give a look to some details on our core revenues, slide 7. The total growth of 1.3% recorded in the first 6 months of the year has been positively impacted by both revenues from RAI and revenues from third party, as Aldo said, and in coherence with the trend that we already commented for the Q1 figures. Revenues from RAI, 1% higher than first stage 2016. This performance is due to the new services offered to RAI that include the impact of the services described by Aldo, mainly in relation to the extension of the satellite broadcasting services and the transmission services for the G7 summit in Taormina, including also the impact of the fixed consideration from RAI. A total revenue from RAI reached 90.6 million in the first 6 months of this year. Of this amount, 2.3 million euro is related to the new services. In the slide, you may also see a focus on the increasing contribution from new services to RAI, excluding one-off project, that reached 2.1 million euro in the first 6 months of 2017, meaning the impact of the one-off project in this period is about 200,000 euro. Revenues from third parties amount 17.4 million euro, 2.8% higher compared to the first half 2016. The growth has been in part impacted by prior readjustment, so on a normalized basis, third party revenues grew at a rate of about 1.5%, 1.6% to be precise, thanks to the contribution of the Norba deal, effective, as you may recall, since the 1st of March, and thanks to the growth, of course, of the increasing revenues from the fixed wireless access customers, as again we already discussed in our last call. Again, on third-party revenues, if we go to slide 8, you may see the related breakdown by service that show a higher weight of customer difference from MNO. MNO, in fact, decreased, the weight of the revenues from MNO decreased from 74% in the first half of 2016 to 72% in the first half of 2017. So the other customer reached today a percentage of 28%, again, thanks to the mentioned growth of revenue from fixed wireless access players and to the impact of the consolidation of the acquisition of Sud Engineering. Let's go to slide 9 on total operating expenses that in the first 6 months of the year amounted 51.3 million euro. Of which about 24 related to personal cost and about 27 million euro related to the other operating expenses. In particular, personnel costs are equal to 24.1 million euro in the first half of 2017, more or less the same level recorded last year. Without considering extraordinary items, personnel costs decreased by about 2%, mainly as a result of the initiative related to the early retirement plan. The workforce at the end of June 2017 amounted to 608 units, with a decrease of 36 units in the last 12 months. Including the impact of the acquisition of Sud Engineering, the headcount reached 617 units. Other operating costs amounted to 27.1 million euro in the first half, vis-à-vis 26.9 last year. Figures have been impacted in the first 6 months of 2017 by a lower level of prior year adjustments, and without this impact, we can say the costs are almost stable. The most important cost reduction in H1 2017 is related to the intercompany cost with RAI that reached further 0.4 million euro of saving in the first 6 months of this year, as shown in the chart on the bottom right. Meaning, if we see the figures, a run rate yearly reduction of about 1.4 million euro, or let me say almost 1 million euro, about 0.9 million euro, if we consider the emerging cost. Emerging costs are mainly related to the insourcing of personnel previously employed by RAI to render administrative services to RAI. The reduction of 0.4 million euro in the intercompany cost offset the higher cost for energy due to an higher unit cost, as we already commented in the first quarter result call, and offset also costs related to new services. If we go to slide 10, we can give a look to all the figures below the adjusted EBITDA. First line, the one-off cost, the so-called adjustments, mainly related to the incentives paid to the employees that are part of the early retirement plan, amounted 3.4 million euro, 2.8 million lower than, in 2016 they amounted 3.4 million euro, and we see a decrease of 2.8 million euro in H1 2017, reaching 0.6 million euro. This reduction is due to the fact that the cost of the plan has been mainly accrued in 2016 profit and loss. DNA amounts 16.4 million euro, with a reduction of 5 million euro compared to the last year figures. As you may recall, the reduction is due to the end of the depreciation period of the CAPEX accrued during the year of the switch off from the analog to the DTT platform and to the extension of the useful life of certain assets. About this extension, let me highlight that the new depreciation rate has been applied in the last quarter of 2016, with a retroactive impact from the 1st of January. So, H1 2016 figures did not include yet this positive impact coming from these new rates. Let's comment quickly the net financial expenses. Financial interest, of course, continue to benefit of the reduction of our gross debt, taxes. The taxes increase by only 1.5 million euro vis-à-vis last year figures, notwithstanding an increase of the earning before tax of about 9 million euro. And this is due to the change in the IRES tax rate that as of today is 24%, last year was 27.5%. Last line, the net income, as Aldo mentioned, it reached 27.4 million euro with an increase of almost 40% compared to the figures reported last year. Let's move to slide 11 on the cash flow generation. With the change of the net debt in the first 6 months of the year, the net debt moved from 9 million euros at the end of 2016 to 43 million euros at the end of June 2017. Because of the typical seasonality, the second quarter of the year has been impacted by dividend payment and by the tax payment that justify this increase in our net debt. Some words on the CAPEX spending that reached 12.4 million euro in the first 6 months of the year, including the impact of the equity value of Sud Engineering. Without this impact, operating CAPEX figures are more or less in line with the figures recorded last year. Following slide on our balance sheet, our net invested capital amount reached 190 million euro, 19 million euro higher than the amount reached at the end of 2016, mainly due to the net working capital cycle in relation to tax and trade payable. So now I kindly ask Aldo to go on and finish our presentation.
Thank you for your presentation, Adalberto. In conclusion, we can confirm that our 2017 outlook is in line with our target for both adjusted EBITDA and maintenance CAPEX. I'd like to complete our presentation with the last slide, that is slide number 14, by underlining the renewed interest of the market in the DTT platform with the launch of two new channels by Sony and Scripps last May, and the announcement of two further new channels during the last quarter of 2017.
Okay, thanks, Aldo. So we can now start with the Q&A session.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Fabio Pavan with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, and thank you for taking my two questions. The first one is on third-party revenues. What is the expectation for the second half of the year, which kind of growth we should supposed to have in the second half? And the second question is on the net profit, clearly 40% increase in first half exceed expectations. Should we expect something similar on a full year basis? First part of the question. And as a follow-up, it is fair to say that this increase in net profit will be fully reflected in the dividend. Thank you.
Hi, Fabio. On third parties revenue, I would say that we expect to close the year with figures higher than slightly higher vis-à-vis 2016 figures. Probably part of the benefit that we are having in the first 6 months could be offset, but I would say that final figures will be higher than last year on year-end figures. Commenting our net profit, the increase that we recorded in the first half, almost 40%, in order to have a proper understanding of the run rate level of our net income, you have to take into consideration that last year, both the first quarter, the first half, and the first 9 months results didn't include the impact of the new depreciation rate. This impact has been included in Q4 figures, retroactive starting from the 1st of January. This means that if you take the positive reduction of the D&A that we are seeing in the first half of approximately 5 million euro, you cannot project this saving also in the last two quarters. Because last year we did this change at the end of the month of December. Without this impact, the growth will be, of course, double-digit growth, not 40%, but something lower in order to take into consideration the D&A trend.
Thank you.
In terms of policy, our policy is still to pay 100% of our net income dividend policy.
The next question is from Albert Pranger with Kempen. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen, for taking the question. Just in order to continue on the question my colleague Fabio asked on the D&A. If you implemented the D&A policy last year in December, shouldn't we expect at least another 5 months impact in revenue growth this year? That was the first question I had. The second is on maintenance CapEx. Because in your press release and in the presentation, you basically reiterate your long-term target of 8.5% maintenance CapEx of sales. If I do the math a bit, then that would mean that you would still need to spend roughly 14 million-15 million this year. Can you please share with me whether you think this is achievable and what kind of projects you have scheduled so far? My last question is on the net debt. Is it true that if I look at slide 11, that when correcting for the dividend payment and for funds and other, that you're basically, excluding those movements, you're basically debt-free as of today? Thank you.
Let's start from the last question on the net debt. Let me take slide 11. Yes, of course, without the dividend payment, our net debt should be close to zero. Coming back to your second question on maintenance CapEx, you have to take into consideration that we have an important seasonality in the CapEx spending. Most of our capital expenditure are accrued in the last two quarters, mainly in the last quarter of the year. Because of these CapEx figures in the first 6 months are not so representative. Last year, we in the first half, we had more or less the same amount of CapEx without the M&A CapEx.
Yeah. No, that's definitely true. Sorry to interrupt you, sir. But if you look at last year, then you were already below your long-term target, actually. So I'm wondering whether are you perhaps a bit conservative on this at this stage?
No. We believe that 8.5% is the proper rate also for this year. Yes, you're right. Last year we closed at 7.5%. 1% of CapEx is something that is manageable in two quarters. Some 1% more vis-à-vis last year figures. As concern your first question on DNA, if you are so kind to repeat the question because I didn't get it properly.
Sure. No worries. You just indicated to my colleague Fabio that the renewed depreciation scheme was implemented from December.
Yes.
So would that then mean that we will see another 5 months of, let's say, benefit throughout this year because of the lower D&A, so that we'll
see a
significant year-on-year growth also in H2?
We should see this benefit till the month of November. As concerned the figures that we report to the market, of course you will see this benefit increase in the first 9 months presentation, and then part of this benefit will be absorbed in when we will report the final year-end figures, because as you mentioned, the impact of the new depreciation rate has been effective starting from December of last year, retroactive from the 1st of January. So basically in the last month last year, we restated all, we did the recalculation of the D&A starting from the 1st of January, but see this impact, all this impact is in Q4 2016 figures.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for the clear answers.
You're very welcome.
The next question is from Ricard Boada with Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, congratulations on the results. I have a couple of questions. You showed in slide 14 that there seems to be renewed interest for the DTT platform with several broadcasters considering to launch new DTT channels. How should we think about this going forward, and how much growth can or should Rayway capture in that environment? And then building on the previous questions, is the run rate of net income in H1 representative for the rest of the year? I guess what I'm trying to do here is assess whether the dividend growth can actually be below 30% that you were mentioning on the call, because effectively you would have like annualizing your EPS at 20 cents, it would be like a very attractive dividend yield above 4%. Thanks so much.
About the dividend policy, the dividend policy is confirmed and is to pay 100% of the net income. So about the trend of the net income, just to be clear, what I said that because of the impact of the D&A and the new depreciation rate, you cannot project the 40% growth that you see in H1 figures. But you should correct this growth into consideration that in the last quarter last year we had restated. So again, it would be a very high growth of our net income, and that's it. We are going not to give a precise guidance on net income,
just to follow up. I mean, is then, despite that there's like this accounting change, are you intending to distribute all of this year's reported net income?
We are going to distribute 100% of the net income that we will record in 2017. Okay. Hmm? Of course, everything will be with required approval from our board, but this is our policy till today.
Thanks. And on the question on the broadcasting?
Yes. About the renewed interest of BTT platform, we have just shown this slide in order to show that the business environment remains very healthy. This is not a direct impact on railway, but it's just what in the market is happening now, and which is the interest on the platform, or the interest of the market on the platform.
Thanks.
Thank you.
The next question is from Domenico Ghilotti with Equita. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Three questions. The first is related to the potential. So, if you foresee any additional voluntary layoff program in this year. The second question is related to the third-party revenues. First of all, I would like to understand where did you account for the Telenorba contribution and which kind of, say, sub-segment of the third-party revenues. And in particular, third question, referring to the MNOs, your competitor, so Yai Tower was referring to some aggressive negotiation by MNOs. I would like to understand if you have the same kind of negotiations ongoing and if you had any approach from the new Three Wind company in order to rediscuss maybe the footprint and the services given the integration process.
Hi, Domenico. Let me start from answering your question on the voluntary of program. As of today, about 60 people left the company, and we expect in the following months other more or less 10 people, 10 employees will leave right away. On the other side, as you may recall, you mentioned that as part of this layoff program, we were hiring some new young employees, and we should hire approximately 20 employees, of which, 10 of these 20 have been already employed. Of these 20 has been already employed, while the other 10 will be employed in the last 6 months.
Okay, just to be clear, this is part of the redundancy program that you booked as a provision at the end of last year, correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
The impact this year will be very limited vis-à-vis last year figures.
Mm-hmm.
The most important part has been achieved in 2016 and in 2015.
Okay. And do you have any additional discussions with the unions, additional plans?
No. We are currently, we have a discussion with unions day by day, and we discuss several topics. Of course, one of the most important topics we are still discussing is this plan. But everything is okay, and we agree on the figures that I mentioned before.
Okay.
Talking about your second question on Telenorba, you were asking for the line where we accrue the revenues from the Telenorba contract, right?
Yes, the point is that I didn't see any specific pickup in the service.
Between the tower hosting tower hosting services and Telenorba, as mentioned, gave a boost to the increase of the weight of the other customer, of the revenues from other customers on the total revenues. But the precise line, if you were referring to this tower hosting.
Okay.
In concerning telecommunication customers, we are involving in ongoing discussion with them as state towers. And in particular, we have about for Wind 3, we have started to see some termination flowing, but in line with expectation, limited presence of 3 and limited overlapping with wind pops. At the same time, we are discussing with them potential extent of their presence on our site portfolio.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Perrin Shah with Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Thanks, guys, and thank you for taking the questions. I have a few. The first, I guess, is we've seen the DG of Rye make way after only a year and a half in the job, and I guess that was a bit of a surprise for people who aren't locals. I was just wondering whether that process with the new DG, Mario Feo, whether that means anything different from your perspective. The second question, I guess, Aldo, you're relatively new in the job. Obviously, you're very familiar with the company. But do you have any specific perspective on whether a consolidation of broadcast infrastructure in Italy is necessary and maybe needs to be executed in the nearer term rather than on a medium-term time frame? And then the third question, I think previously you used to give a slide where there were some details around what you were looking to negotiate with Rai. Can I just confirm that the multiplex extension of multiplexes 2, 3, and 4 is something that you're still in negotiations with Rai over? And actually a fourth question, you make a bit of a deal about the HD, the renewal of the DTH satellite platform and the full Rai HD offering. Do you envisage a scenario where you can offer a full HD offering on your regular DTT? Thanks.
Sorry, could you repeat the first two questions? The line was so bad. Sorry for that.
The first two questions.
Yes, please.
Sure. Okay, so the first question was talking about the change in the director general at the Rai level and what that means for Rai Way.
Uh-huh,
and
the second question
was about the potential for consolidation of broadcast infrastructure in Italy and whether you now, having a new CEO in place, have any different perspective on the timing of that or any view on that.
So the first question on the new director general, there is no impact on Rai Way coming from the change of the new general director of Rai. As you know, our board has been is in place since the new board has been in place since some months. From the assembly we had in May, we have 9 board members, the chairman appointed by Rai, one other representative of Rai, then the CEO that is Rai Way employee, and then we have 6 other members, of which one in relation to the power that of our minorities. So in terms of impact coming from the appointment of the new general director, there is no impact on Rai Way. Of course, we continue to discuss with the technical department on several topics. So our references are always the same. Just we had a change in the general manager.
About the question on the consolidation, it's part of my vision is to incorporate more external growth through M&A. The market provides many opportunities, including but not only in combination with the tower. Despite the clear rationale, what we would need today is an easier and more stable environment. In the meantime, we are doing whatever we can to be ready once the environment is more favorable. And the other question about the new services for Rai for the coverage expansion of multiplex 2, 3, and 4. Negotiations are still underway. We have already submitted the first proposal based on Rai's initial requirements. Currently, Rai is waiting for the outcome of the negotiation with the government on the service agreement. And in addition, as you mentioned before, this past June, Rai appointed a new CEO who is already defining the roadmap of the Rai offering.
Okay, great. And I had just that final question on the potential for a full HD upgrade on your DTT. Do you think there's a case for that or not really?
It's a choice of our main customer. Of course, we are happy to work on whatever scenario Rai will ask you, to the extent that this is going to be treated as an additional service that is going to be to have the impact that you should know in terms of return. So for the time being, I personally expect that there are going not to be a significant change, but let's see the outcome, as Aldo mentioned, of the contract that is going to be signed between Rai and the government.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
The next question is a follow-up from Fabio Pavan with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, a follow-up for you, Aldo. You were mentioning many opportunities for external growth. I was wondering if Persidera could be one of those potential opportunities, maybe with some change in the structure. Thank you.
Thank you, Fabio. About Persidera, if any of you don't know, Persidera is, in a few words, Persidera is a pure national operator with 5 multiplex and active equipment. For us, Persidera is an interesting opportunity. It would be consistent with our industrial plan, yielding efficiencies, rationalization, and improved market position. Therefore, we are evaluating different scenarios, considering the complexity of how Telecom Italia and Gruppo L'Espresso decide to manage the potential disposal, as well as the current regulatory antitrust cap of 5 multiplex at group level that will have impact on the potential structure.
Thank you.
The next question is a follow-up from Domenico Ghilotti with Equita. Please go ahead.
Yes, a follow-up on the previous question. So could you elaborate a little bit more? So would you be ready to manage the infrastructure leaving in the current say, regulatory framework, leaving the frequencies to the current owner, or are you considering something different? And broadly speaking, so a more general comment, Hightower was also mentioned, was suggesting that building a real network operator with frequencies, not only infrastructure, would be a positive outcome for the industry in general, also for the evolution of your business model. Do you agree on this vision?
About Persidera, of course, it depends on what Telecom Italia will decide about Persidera. Our business model is absolutely clear. We manage sites and active equipment. So And of course, we have resources and human resources on our spread on our territory. So what we represent, the potential business, it could be interesting because it fit, if it fits with our business model. Otherwise, of course, not.
Mm-hmm. And you, on the idea of the network operator, in theory, clearly.
About network operator, as you know, there are different choices. Poor network operator or without or within fractured frequencies. So it depends from the regulatory framework. It not depends from our. It's too early to speak about that.
Okay. Thank you.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay, thanks all for joining the call, and have a good summer break. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.